Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The baseball game is over. It's time for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show with Tim Allen on The Fan.
It is a final from Miller Park, and the results are good. Baby, what a win tonight. Wow. Welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Soon to come here after the basketball game. It is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show. Tim and Sparky in tonight, and the Brewers get a 6-4 victory to even up the series at a game apiece. And for the third time, they avoid falling three games under 500. And this is critical, guys. Absolutely key in this. Anytime you're floating around that two games under mark, and then the back's against the wall, they have bounced back. All three of these times, this one wasn't looking good early. I will say that. And Craig Counsell referred to it yesterday. He talked about it again today. He talked about striking out, not getting home runs, not getting runs on the board. Well, that all changed tonight. It's a game like this, Stevie, where this is why Craig Counsell's the manager and I'm not. Because there's a couple of things. Number one, Ryan Braun activated and back in the lineup. Why would he be batting? They're both right-handed hitters, both Jed Jerko and Ryan Braun. Both right-handed hitters. Why would Braun be in the five and Jerko in the four?
Because Braun wasn't doing anything prior to him going out. And when you say to the media that he needs at-bats and you send him to Appleton to play with a taxi squad, that really tells me you're really not all that confident in Ryan Braun's ability to hit at the plate at this point. So that just further proves that Counsell isn't that confident in Braun at this point and puts Jerko in front of him.
They sent Ryan Braun to Appleton for five at-bats.
Braun, 3-4 years ago, never, ever would have agreed to that.
I'm not sure that they would have made that plan. They probably sent him up there and said, hey, get some ABs up there. And he said, I'm good after five. I'm coming back. You could have made one call to Sticks Academy Hitters or GRB and found some kid throwing 93 and said, hey, go pitch to Braun for the afternoon. I mean, but hey, again, point being, Jed Jerko in the cleanup spot playing first base today made a nice pick at first base defensively as well on a ball tossed over to him. Actually, he also made a play, a glove flip to Alex Claudio in this one. So a couple of defensive plays, and then the huge bottom of the eighth two-run shot to give the Brewers the lead. That was, I mean, absolutely huge, guys. I want to get your reaction here. 414-799-1250. The Brewers crawl back up toward that 500 mark at 7-8. And I hate to say that all the time, but that's the reality of it. The reality is you got to stay around 500. That's just fact. We talked last night, Stevie, about you have to change something on this offense. It has to change because you don't have a choice. I mean, with the games just now seemingly just screaming by, we're playing baseball every day, day by day, I get it. But, I mean, you can't allow this offense to continue to do what they were doing. You had to switch something up, and he did it tonight. Avisail Garcia in that leadoff spot.
I texted you when the lineup came out. I said, oh, did you see the Brewers lineup? Well, my. I told you, I like Garcia in the leadoff spot. I like it a lot because it's, if you believe in protection in the lineup and having that hitter see better pitches, some people agree with that, some people still don't. I am one that believes in that, and now you give him a real person behind him batting, because prior to that, he was down in the middle to bottom of the order with absolutely nobody behind him in the batting order. So right away, he gets the freedom to attack early. And as Garcia put it, I get to attack a pitcher before he gets into any type of rhythm. So he likes the idea of batting up there at the top of the lineup. I'm fine with it because even if you're an old school guy that believes in speed at the top of the lineup, Garcia can move. He can steal bases if need be at the top of the lineup. He's a big dude, but he can run. So no matter how you look at it, I like it.
It's just, you know, the Brewers, how bummed were Brewers fans after a half inning of work? Josh Lindblom out there, a couple of home runs. Polanco and that dude, Eddie Rosario, he gets it done. But talking about Avisail Garcia leading off the bottom of the first inning, yeah, he cut that lead in half.
And Garcia turns on one. That is way back and way gone. Avi Garcia with a leadoff home run here in the first inning.
Yeah, work pays off, doesn't it? We highlighted that when we came on the air, the extra work that he and Andy Haynes did on the tee and the soft toss. Boy, what a nice swing for Avi Garcia.
His first home run as a Brewer. Council puts him in the leadoff spot to ensure he gets an at-bat against a pitcher he has a lot of success against. And it pays off quickly.
Yeah, stays 2-1 into the third inning where Lindblom's in all sorts of trouble, and mainly because of Eddie Rosario. He hits another home run, a two-run shot. And to that point, Stevie, through the first game yesterday and the first three innings today, dude was 1 3-run homer away from the home run cycle.
That's pretty good.
He was just looking for the 3-run shot, and he'd had it. He had a grand slam yesterday, solo shot in the first, 2-run shot here. Now the Brewers trail 4-1. That all changed as Lindblom's day was done after 4 innings of work, giving up the 4 earnies and 88 pitches in the performance. However, struck out 8, a career high. He's done. He gives way to Alex Claudio, and Claudio comes in, and well, he's doing what the bullpen on this team has been doing pretty much all year, and they've been shut down. Alex Claudio pitches a scoreless fifth inning. The Brewers bottom half. You wouldn't think this is the likely thumper or slug guy, but he was. Manny Pena, bottom of the fifth.
Manny Pena starts it. First ball swinging, fly ball left center. Buxton is back. He'll watch it fly. Manny Pena with a home run. Strikes his first home run of the season, and the Brewers within a pair now.
Some point is going to be tough to keep him out of lineup. I mean, he has really been catching well and swinging the bat. Omar Narvaez has had a tough time of it so far, but he'll break out of it. Fastball up, down the middle of the plate, and Manny able to center on it. Nice level swing and shoots it on out of here.
Yeah, so it's 4-2 right there. Now, that inning in the fifth inning was extended a little bit. You had a couple of more base runners on. Now, that was key, because after Eric Yardley pitches a scoreless sixth inning, it flipped that batting order all the way back around to Manny Pena again with a man aboard in the sixth.
He swings 3-0. He launches one into right center field, and it is gone! The pineapple strikes again. We are tied at 4.
Boy, that was a frozen rope out to right center. My goodness, 3-0, took advantage of it. Boy, you love to see that. You know, swinging 3-0, you get a pitch exactly where you're looking for it, driving it out of the ballpark. That pitch was about mid-thigh high out of half, and he drove it on out of here.
Yeah, there's some excitement in that Brewers dugout tonight. That's for sure. Manny Pena with a couple of home runs. You heard the highlights there on Fox Sports Wisconsin. One more highlight to get to, but I will say in the Brewers 6-4 victory, Manny Pena, the Chevy MVP in this one, brought to you by Chevy. Check out the new 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealer or at WisconsinDriveChevy.com. Bullpen continues to be a force here. David Phelps in the seventh. Then you get Devin Williams in the eighth. And another reason why Craig Counsell's the manager and not us. Because I would have put in Josh Hader for two innings, trusted my offense to get a run there in the eighth.
I didn't mind it. I thought Devin Williams had been pitching well to this point. I don't know. I didn't raise an eyebrow at it or anything. I'm like, okay, that's fine. He's been pitching well. Let's see what he does. And he did pitch well. He had a walk, but pitched well that inning.
Yeah, a couple of punch outs for Devin Williams, and it set the table, bottom half. Jed Jerko, no, not batting behind Ryan Braun. In front of him, in the cleanup spot, Yelly with a one-out double, and he comes in on this blast.
Jerko in the air, center field, back on it is Buxton, near the wall, he leaps, and she's gone! Jed Jerko, a towering home run to center. Two-run blast, the Brewers have the lead in the eighth.
Got good wood on it. Just questioned, did he get under it too much to leave the ballpark, but it did not. Just kept going.
Okay, there it is on Fox Sports Wisconsin. You had the two-run shot from Jerko there to give him a 6-4 lead. Then Josh Hader nails down save number three, a couple of punch-outs for Josh. He did walk Cruz, and couldn't have happened to a better guy. He strikes out Rosario to end that game. Brewers 7-8 now on the year. As we look at the turning point in this one, I can't decide which of the homers from Pena is the turning point. Maybe the six, the two-run shot. Or it could have been probably turned it into a victory. I'm going to go with Jed Jerko's two-run shot in the eighth inning. Turning point brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Check out all the track rental and event information at GreatLakesDragway.com. Great Lakes Dragway, the legendary in Union Grove, Wisconsin. All right, so the Brewers win 7-8. What's going on in the Bucks game? I guess big fireworks in that Bucks-Wizards game.
It's all stupid. It's just the whole thing. Just so irritated. Bucks are up crushing the Wizards, really. The bench has just exploded. Can't miss shots for the Bucks tonight. 113-99 Bucks up. 6 minutes still to go in the fourth quarter. In that Bucks game, though, Giannis headbutted Mo Wagner for the Wizards, former Michigan Wolverine, and got flagrant two, kicked out of the game. He's going to get suspended probably for at least one game, which will probably be Thursday. A meaningless game against Memphis if that's what happens. But first of all, he got called for a charge on Wagner, who had set his feet, I thought, on the free throw line. And Wagner got up, and Giannis was running his mouth about something. I couldn't tell if Wagner had said anything. Then they go down the other side of the floor, and Giannis is getting set to box out while the Wizards have the ball. And he's facing the basket, butt out. And Wagner cuts baseline and kind of hits butts with him side by side. And Giannis goes to the ground, and his leg crumpled a little bit, his left leg crumpled a little bit. Obviously, for whatever reason, he thought nobody should have the right to box him out or something. Not quite sure. So then when the play is stopped and they're walking to their benches, Giannis walks up to him and headbutts him. Yeah.
I wonder if that's the final piece of Giannis's game. Everyone talks about the mid-range jumper and shooting percentage from outside, but I wonder if that's the last part of his game. Number one is getting the calls because he's Giannis.
Oh, for sure. The superstar rules in the NBA.
Yep. Right. Is that the last thing? And then the other thing is the emotional maturity here to not do that like that?
Not
to headbutt a dude?
Dude, I've watched this league long enough, man. If you let them in, that they can get to you, and that they're going to get a reaction like that out of you.
That's what I'm saying.
They're all going to start trying to goad him into doing something, and then you're going to end up costing your team a series at some point because you're going to do something stupid in the wrong situation. My God, the guy played with Larry Sanders. He should know better at this point than to do stupid crap like that.
Yeah, I just wonder if that's the final piece of Giannis's game. I don't know. It will come out soon. I'm hoping just the one game suspension is there precedent on this?
Oh yeah, there's been headbutts in the league. It's normally one game.
It is. Okay.
It's normally one game. Now Roy was texting with other members of the Big Show tonight. He thinks he'll just get fined because he has no previous track record of being a bad dude or whatever. I think he's going to get suspended at least a game. So
we'll wait and see
how this happens. But we can talk about the Brewers until we get to that point. Bucks still playing.
We'll get in a break here. If you guys want to jump in here, a huge victory for the Brewers as we await the Bucks outcome with the Wizards. Looks like they're going to run away with that win. Good day in Wisconsin sports if that gets done here. But the Brewers, again, I can't stress it enough. You're hanging on here. Some would say by a thread. As some would say, it was quite the bummer when you're down 4-1 again mid-game. Your offense looks really, really bad here, but they bust out Manny Pena, the unlikely guy. A couple of home runs here in this one. Jed Jerko, big two-run shot in that eighth inning. 414-799-1250. Baby Shade and Blind post-game show. Pick and Save Pro Hoops post-game show as well, combined as soon as that one ends here on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the Gene Wagner Plumbing Are You Kidding Me moment of the game on The Fan. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
You got to be kidding me. They won this game? Yeah, you may have turned it off when it was 4-1 because you didn't trust this offense. Well, they started chipping away and coming back on this thing. It's about time. It really is. Normally, this year has been going where they're down 3 or 4 runs. Then they chip away a little bit. They get within 2, and then nothing happens. Well, this time, a little bit different. Are you kidding me? Moments of the game, 5th inning home run from Manny Pena. That made it 4-2. The real are you kidding me moment of the game would be in the 6th inning, a 3-0 count to Manny Pineapple, and he takes him yard for his second homer of the night, a 2-run shot that tied the game at 4. And then you get to the are you kidding me moment, which is in the 8th inning. Jed Jerko, who had, honestly, guys, he had no business cleaning up for this team. I mean, but hey, he got it done, a 2-run shot in that 8th inning. Are you kidding me? Moments of the game with Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust.
You keep going after Jerko here, but after the night he had, he's at 286 with a 348 on base, 619 slugging after tonight.
He hasn't started a game since the game in Chicago against the White Sox, in which he had a multi-hit game, including a 2-run home run, 3 RBIs.
Yep.
I think we're seeing Craig Counsell sort of evolve to, he doesn't care about the jersey names on the names on the back of the jerseys. He just doesn't care anymore. Omar Narvaez, I don't know. I mean, I know he's better than what he's showing. There's no question. But if Manny Pena is going to do this,
that's correct,
then you're going to have to play him. And it's a funky season anyway, man. You're going to have to play the guys that are producing, and that's that.
Absolutely. No question. It's not like Narvaez is some 10-time All-Star. That's not what's going on here. It's not like, you know, you have some perennial All-Star catcher battling it out with a perennial backup in Pena. Narvaez has an okay track record, but he's not all that in a bag of chips. And if Pena's playing better than him, Pena should get the starts.
799-1250. Hey, Brian, your thoughts on the 6-4 come from behind victory?
Yeah, I wanted to tell you guys that I told my dad, both of you guys know my dad, and I wanted to tell him that I told him that I liked this lineup tonight.
Yeah, I liked it too.
You do like it.
I like Jerko in the fourth spot, and then today I bought a Hauser jersey, so I bought a Hauser jersey.
Nice. So you got your Adrian Hauser jersey.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Brian. Always a pleasure hearing from you.
Yeah.
Take care, Brian.
He likes this lineup. Well, I like the upper portion of it. I mean, I would you leave Avisaíl García right there?
Yes. Hero right there. Yelich right there. I like Jerkle better than I like Justin Smoke. So
no, you're probably going to see Smoke tomorrow.
No. And you and I the other night off the air were talking about this team and some of the guys I didn't like on this team at the beginning of the year. And one of them was Logan Morrison. And he's out of here. And Justin Smoke can be the next one out of here as far as I'm concerned. You can get rid of him next. I mean, there's a bunch of guys we can get rid of. But that would be my next one I'd like to move on from would be Smoke.
I tend to look at it this way in terms of this offensive skid that they're on, and they're simply better than what they're showing. Craig Counsell said it prior to the game today. I truly believe that they are better. Some good news is that baseball is cyclical in nature, and it runs in cycles a little bit. And when everybody is slumping at the same time, if there's a collective slump, now that's not good. Don't get me wrong. It's just bad. You want it staggered a little bit. Two, three guys get hot where another two, three guys cool down a little bit, and then you flip-flop it because, it runs in cycles. The reality is if they're all kind of cold through the first 14, 15 games now, well, what happens when they all turn things around and start getting back to the back of their baseball cards?
Well, Brewers history will tell you the pitching staff will blow up then at that point, and we'll have to deal with that. That's what Brewer history tells us, Tim Allen.
Come on.
Hey, man. I've done all these postgame shows with you that I know how this normally works.
I'm pretty convinced they're going to get scorching hot. Now, offensively, I don't know how long of a stretch that's going to be. I can't guarantee it's going to be a 15-game stretch to even things out. But I will say that, a 3-4, 6-game kind of stretch where, hey, they get super hot. They could use it right now. This schedule here this week, Monday through Sunday, brutal. Just brutal. Twins are a really good baseball team, and certainly the Cubs are a very good baseball team as well. And they've got 4 against the Cubs, 3 against these Twins. Every win this week, every win this year, every day that goes by, just keep chipping away at this 60 game. Keep chipping away. Let's check out some of the numbers. If you're keeping an eye on the Bucks game, Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show.
45 seconds left.
We'll follow as well. Let's go inside the box, and that is brought to you by the Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power on the web at LIUNA113.org, and they get the 6-4 win, a come-from-behind victory, which you guys that follow Brewers baseball this year, you know that a lot of people tuned out. I mean, let's face it, a lot of you have been doing that. Once they get down in these baseball games, they just have shown the knack not to come back.
No, not Brewers fans. They don't tune out early.
They stick
with it.
I caught somebody on the air saying that he was watching Home and Garden TV.
HGTV?
Last night.
I watch HGTV.
Last night, and then the Brewers were on last night. It was two-run game.
Brewers and Bucks were on last night.
All right, let's check out the numbers. Avisaíl García, 3-for-4 with a run scored, an RBI, his first home run in a Brewers uniform. Ooh, Keston, a clunker, 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. Christian Yelich goes 1-for-4 with a run scored. Jed Jerko, 2-for-4, 2 runs scored, 2 knocked in. Ryan Braun goes 0-for-4. Manny Pena, career night, 2-for-3, a couple of runs scored, 3 RBIs. Ben Gamel has cooled off dramatically, 0-for-3. Luis Urias, he goes 0-for-2. Orlando Arcia, 1-for-2. Pinch hitters, Sogard and Holt, both of those guys 0-for-1. Pitching lines tonight, Josh Lindblom, 4 innings, allows 7 hits, 4 earned runs, a couple of walks, and a career-high 8 strikeouts. Alex Claudio, 1 inning, 1 hit, no runs. Eric Yardley, 1 inning, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 1 strikeout. David Phelps in the 7th, 1 inning, no hits, no runs, no walks, a couple of strikeouts. Devin Williams, 1 inning, no hits, no runs, a walk, and a couple of strikeouts. Josh Hader, 1 inning, no hits, No runs, one walk, and a couple of strikeouts. The Brewers get 6 runs on 9 hits, no errors. The Twins, 4 runs on 10 hits without an error. The win goes to Devin Williams. He is now 1-1. The loss to Rogers, he's 1-2. The save to Josh Hader is his third. The Brewers now 7-8 here in the 2020 championship season. Hanging around, not playing good baseball, hanging around a playoff position. Isn't that the goal?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, that's the goal. Yes. Final Bucks over the Wizards. And time for our combo postgame show on the Pick It Safe Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. And it's going to be fun to talk about this one. Bucks beat the Wizards tonight, 126-113. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, along with the franchise Tim Allen. Two teams in Milwaukee, and they both win tonight. Brewers win 6-4. Bucks take care of the Wizards, 126-113, with seemingly their bench tonight. Giannis got the start, got kicked out for headbutting Mo Wagner. He ended up with 12 points, 9 boards, an assist, and a steal. Brooke Lopez had 24 points to lead all scorers tonight for the Bucks. Other guys talk about Sterling Brown had a big night finally. It's been a long, long time. He was 9 of 16 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3 for Sterling Brown. He had 23 points. Frank Mason the third, he played 21 minutes. He had 19 points, 6 assists, 5 boards, and he is more known for his G League play than his NBA play, to be honest with you. But they are the highlights of the Bucks. But again, the story tonight obviously will be Giannis getting kicked out of the game for headbutting Mo Wagner. Uncalled for and stupid.
Why?
On all accounts.
But why, though? Why would he do that?
Well, I have no idea. Maybe he misses his family. Maybe, you know, he misses his kid. You know, he's a brand new dad. Maybe he's frustrated by staying in this stupid bubble down in Florida. Maybe there's underlying stuff between him and Mo Wagner. I have no idea. It doesn't matter. He never should have played in this game to begin with, because the game meant nothing to start off with. And secondly, why are you getting all mad about that? Look, I understand. You fell down when he hip-checked you to go box you out under the rim and, you know, you got all up in your feelings about it. Fine. But there's no reason to go take this dude and headbutt him going to a timeout or whatever. I just, you know, this wasn't Dennis Rodman taking a cheap shot at Giannis and then Giannis doing something about it. The guy went to box him out. Now, you can argue that maybe Giannis wasn't ready to get hip checked in the box out and he went down. Well, that's not this dude's fault. This dude went to make a basketball play and box out.
Yeah, I wonder if people know which buttons to press with Giannis. And I wonder if, because normally he's sort of this fun-loving kind of NBA player, right? Yeah, he does the mean mug and all that. And I get all that. But normally, isn't he, you correct me if I'm wrong, I know he's a fierce competitor. Most of them are. But isn't he more of the more positive, have fun with the game sort of competitor?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he'll get to his mean mugging and that type of stuff. And since they've been in the bubble, I feel like he's trying to kind of be the tough guy for the Bucks and kind of like, nobody messes with my guys and I'm going to stick up for my guys. But the problem is, you're a superstar. You have guys to do that for you. You don't have to do that. Let Chris Middleton go do that. And it really shouldn't be Middleton either. But Giannis, for whatever the reason, has decided he's going to be the enforcer now all of a sudden. And I just don't know if that's good going forward, because the last thing you need is him getting suspended in a playoff series and possibly costing you a series. The Chevy MVP of tonight's victory for Milwaukee over Washington, 126-113. We'll go with Brooke Lopez, 24 points on the night, 5 of 5, perfect from downtown, 1 of 1 from the free throw line, 9 of 11 from the field. And he will be your Chevy MVP of the game. Find what's next. Check out the new 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealer or at WisconsinDriveChevy.com. If you want to talk about the Brewers, you want to talk about the Bucks game tonight, phone lines are open, 414-799-1250. And Big Rig on the north side dialed it up. What's up, Big Rig?
What's up, guys? It's been a long time since both of you have been in the studio together, and I've had a chance to call while that's happened. So
good deal. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, welcome in.
A dozen years ago for me. Anyway, first things first, you guys are talking about the Bucks. Sparky, I got to agree wholeheartedly with you. Yeah, it's nice that Giannis doesn't back down from people, but let's be honest, Robin Lopez, he can stand in
yes,
there.
Yes, perfect guy. Yes, yes.
Somebody a headbutt.
Yes.
You know, there's guys on the team to do that. But speaking of guys on the team to do stuff, I mean, you mentioned it in the box score a few minutes ago, Tim. Keston Hiura, horrible game, you know, and guys around him and around Yelich, who's also been struggling, as we all know, those guys stepped up tonight and helped out the hitting superstars. You know, you don't expect Jed Jerko to come through clutch. You don't expect Manny Pena, first ever career two-home run game. I mean, that's what this offense is needed, is guys to step up around Yelich, around Hiura. You know, what they did all September after Yelich went down when they went on that insane run last season. You know, they had offensive guys stepping up on different nights. Avi Garcia with a nice leadoff home run tonight. You know, that's what this team is going to need, along with continued good pitching, which they've gotten for the most part. Some of the starters, you know, here and there, but the bullpen's been pretty good. That's what this team needs. All parts have to work together if they're going to come through this. And like with the Bucks in the bubble, too, you know, to bounce back to them, you know, you need the whole team firing together to be able to do something to make a deep run in the new playoffs with the number one seed. And I think the Brewers are looking for the same thing. There's the guys round into form, really get their legs underneath them here a couple weeks into the season now. You know, everybody's got to pull on the same end of the rope.
Yeah, no, you're right on the money. They do have to do better offensively. There's no question. And when those guys have a rough night, like Keston, hey, Keston, last couple of games, he's been outstanding. Okay, absolutely. Well, now it cycles over to someone else, Jed Jerko and Manny Pena instead of Yelich and Braun. I mean, you got to run in cycles like that. I just wonder if in both of these cases, both the Bucks and the Brewers guys, I wonder if we're all struggling to grasp when we really get into it. You know, I mean, for the Bucks, it's been a holding pattern to the playoffs, right? But even then, it's still going to be a mismatch, and so are you really into it then? For the Brewers, yeah, they're 7-8. Let's not discount the fact that we're approaching 25% of the season here. So when do you really get into it and understand that three games under 500 is really super bad in a 60-game baseball season? Now that they're 7-8, yeah, I'm celebrating. I understand the gravity, but I think as a whole, are just sports fans still struggling with trying to understand these seasons?
Yeah, I think they are, too. I would assume everybody's struggling to understand it, but I'll take it a step further. I think players are struggling to understand the environment that they're playing in and the things they're having to go through in order to play on a day-to-day basis, and I think it's affecting everyone.
Yeah, I was just going to throw on the Brewers real quick. I agree completely in that these guys, you know, the gravity of the situation when you're early on in this short season, these guys have to figure it out quick. And I think now that they've gotten some of their tougher opponents out of the way, to be honest, the White Sox look good. They're doing some Twins games, some Cubs games. They still have the Tigers and the Royals and the Pirates, more of the Pirates coming up. So hopefully they can, you know, get fat a little bit once they hit the ground running, you know, firing on all cylinders at the right time.
Yep, Big Rig, always a pleasure, man. We'll be in touch. I heard David Stearns on Fox Sports Wisconsin today.
Talking about his kid with their first T-ball set, right?
Yeah, I heard that. And, you know, it got me thinking about, boy, I hope this season doesn't make me say this, all right, at some point. Fine, just play the young dudes. Everybody that's young is going to play. Your future now plays. Jed Jerko sits, Justin Smoke sits. I don't care what your name is. If you're young and our future, you're playing. And I hope I don't get to that portion this year. I hope I don't get to that this year. In other words, screw it. Woodruff, Hauser, Burns, Peralta, every 5 days you're pitching, you're not only pitching to get the maturation that we need you to have because the arrow's still pointed up, as Stearns had said, but you're our rotation for next year along with another veteran, maybe a Josh Lindblom, whatever. I hope I don't get to that point. I hope it's an everyday thing, and so far so good through 15 games. It's an everyday grind. It's just, I hate to say it because I do every year here in April. Oh, sorry, check that. It's August. in a baseball season, it's a pennant race. I'm proclaiming it's a pennant race right now, and they're in it. They are in it.
Well, yeah, for the time being. We'll see how long that lasts. He is Tim Allen, host of Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here with you, host of the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. Speaking of them, they're the fine sponsor of Sidney Moncrief, Bucks legend, who's about to join us. Check out their new and certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles off of I-43 North at Silver Spring Drive. The Bucks legend joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good evening, Mr. Moncrief. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I first of all, we talked last night about minutes played and all of that stuff, and we come back today, and they decide they're not going to play Middleton, they're not going to play Bledsoe. Wes Matthews, not a surprise, because he got banged up in that game last night. DiVincenzo, he doesn't play. Giannis was listed as questionable as 1 o'clock, as far as 1 o'clock this afternoon. They decide they're going to play him. And then the incident with Mo Wagner happens where he headbutts the dude and gets kicked out of the game, probably going to be suspended now at this point. You know Giannis better than we do, obviously. Were you surprised by that?
I was a little bit surprised. I played the game long enough to know occasionally you're going to do something out of character. You get upset. I looked at the headbutt. Certainly it's a headbutt, but it wasn't malice. It wasn't aggressive. It was just kind of putting his head in the other guy's face, which is something you should not do. However, I did not think it was anything that was malice or aggressively. He was not trying to hurt the guy. He was just trying to get out of my space. And
he walked into Wagner's space. Come on. Get out of here. You are spinning it good. As Leroy Butler would say, you're putting it in the spin cycle right now.
It's Giannis. Giannis has all the space. So
yeah.
Wagner, he was still in Giannis's space. He was on the court. So that's Giannis's space. He owns the basketball court. And so but looking at it, I thought it was really much to do about nothing, really. And I'm not trying to be just pro Giannis. I just thought it was much to do about nothing. He probably will get suspended, something he should not have done, but we've all done things, I know I have, throughout the course of a game that we later regret.
I love it. I love it, Sidney Moncrief, all you superstars. You stick together, man. You're dedicated. I know that. Let me ask you this, Sidney. If you were to say that there's a final thing to Giannis's game here moving forward, whether it's this year into the postseason, into the championship run that they're on, what is the final piece of Giannis's game that needs to be there?
Well, I said this before the year. I hadn't changed my position. Giannis, the final piece is making foul shots consistently. I think the final piece has been an 80% foul shooter. If he can do that, then all the other things people talk about, outside shot, three-point shooting, is not really, in my mind, a big issue. He's getting to the line enough. He makes his foul shots. It changes the complexion of his game, and also it puts the Bucks in a position to win games because he's going to have the basketball at the end of the game. He's going to get fouled. You must make foul shots.
Talking with Sidney Moncrief, Bucks legend here on The Fan. Talking about this Bucks game tonight as they win 126-113 over the Washington Wizards. And Brooke Lopez, another great night. I swear to God, since you said that he is their third piece and became president of his fan club, he's been playing out of his mind. So thank you for that, Sidney Moncrief. Sterling Brown tonight, on the other hand, gets a little run here and there. I'm not sure if he's part of a playoff rotation. Probably not, but he showed out tonight. 5 of 8 from three-point range, 23 points, and really played well tonight for the Bucks.
Yeah, Pat Connaughton also, did I say his last name correctly?
Yeah, Pat Connaughton, yep.
Connaughton, I think he's been very impressive the last three ball games. I think he's worked his way into the rotation,
for sure,
possibly for the playoffs. They have a lot more confidence in him. I felt the coaching staff tonight wanted to see how Sterling Brown and some of these other young men would perform, and Sterling Brown certainly gave them something to consider. If they're in a bind, at least they know that he has the capability to make shots and to be a part of their rotation offensively. But Pat, to me, is the player that's standing out the last three or four ball games.
Yeah, and I think Connaughton's probably definitely in that rotation. But, like, Giannis's brother won't be in that rotation, Thanasis. I don't think DJ Wilson is in that rotation. Frank Mason II's not in it. Sterling Brown's not in it. Robin Lopez probably gets sparing minutes, depending on if they're playing a bigger lineup or not, which there aren't many of those in the league anymore. So really, you're talking about Giannis, Brooke Lopez, George Hill, Middleton, Bledsoe, Korver, Connaughton, Marvin Williams or Ilyasova, and that's probably what it is at this point, right? Wes Matthews?
Yeah, that's it. I think Wes Matthews has to be a really key part of the rotation. If the Bucks are going to be successful, he's going to need to step up and start making shots. And defensively, we know he's locking people down. We understand that. But right now, when the Bucks are swinging the basketball, he's normally that person in the corner or at that high side, weak side that makes those three-point shots. Culver has shown some little life lately. I think teams are going to overplay him and run him off the three-point line, and that's going to open up opportunities for other players.
It's a good thing whenever Sidney Moncrief can join us here on the show. And Tim Allen gets a little Sidney Moncrief tonight.
That's right.
As well. Always a pleasure having you on. We'll talk on Thursday after the last game of the regular season against Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll talk to you then.
Well, one question, though. I thought headbutting, can you do that in soccer? If you can do it in soccer, should you be able to do it in basketball? I'm just asking.
Come on, man. Don't be the guy that brings other sports in to defend your guy. I'm sure Giannis rather would have played soccer as a profession if he could have. I mean, a lot of these guys would have. I remember talking to Luke Richard Bamute years ago. He's like, I'd rather would have played soccer. He goes, but it just wasn't my thing, so I decided I'd call him also play basketball.
Yeah, he'll be fine. But thank you, guys, and enjoy your evening.
Take care. There he is, Sidney Moncrief right. On the Great Bye. Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion now growing your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Isn't it fun talking to that dude?
Yeah, no, he's a good guy, and it's probably second or third time I've talked to him. It brings me back to the old shutterbug that I was, taking pictures and running down the stairs of the old Mecca, and just I remember that. And I talked to Sidney about this before, that you know, he actually saw me as a kid taking a picture. He stopped to like let me take the picture coming off the court. It was super cool.
That's
just
nice.
Super cool. I don't know if players would do that now. I mean, he was like a little jog going back to the tunnel, and he saw me, was right there. I had him, and he just stopped. I took the picture, and off he went.
Hey, good. You want to hear from your guy, Craig Council, after the game? Would that be of interest to you? I mean, the Brewers did get the win tonight, after all.
Yeah, I do. And the sparks of both of these games, as the Bucks beat the Wizards 126-113, Brewers over the Twins 6-4 final. Spark of the game brought to you by Current Electric, your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. I'm going to say Brooke Lopez and Manny Pena with the multi-homer game, first time in his career.
I like it. Yeah, that's very good. I like those sparks of the game. All right, Craig Council. Let's hear from good old Craig Council, because I'm interested in seeing. You guys always played the game last year as far as trying to guess what Craig Council has to say after the game today. I guess what I'm kind of interested in hearing from him is he going to commit to Manny Pena, I guess? Because somebody's going to have to ask, right? Like, okay. Hey, man, he's playing well. So, you know, is he going to start getting some more at-bats? I would assume that question gets asked.
Okay, all right.
I think that's a fair question.
Okay, so you're on the Pena thing when we hear Council right now. I am going to go with a bullpen. He's going to be just loving on this bullpen. If you think about it, Josh Lindblom, 4 innings pitch. So then you have a different pitcher in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. 5 different relievers shut down that Twins potent lineup. I think he's going to be glowing on the bullpen.
All right, let's hear from Craig Council here on The Fan.
Craig, would you like me to ask you again tomorrow about why your team's not slugging enough?
Yeah, I guess it feels like that's how it works sometimes, but you know, tonight we got the homers and we got big spots homers. So, and with some guys on base, so this was a good big ball game for us. A really nice win. Had to grind it out through 9 innings with a lot of people doing some good things tonight. So, really good win. I mean, the bullpen was outstanding five scoreless innings against these guys, five different guys. And then we had some huge hits, obviously.
Craig, did Manny surprise you at all, swinging 3-0? I don't think we've seen that very much in the Brewers uniform.
No, I mean, I think that's the spot you do it. Is there's two outs, you know, that's the spot you do it. That's the spot you be, you get a little aggressive, man, on first, you get a little aggressive right there. So, you know, it was a good, great swing. I mean, opposite field against a, guy's one of their guys. He's a good pitcher.
Craig, it was really a battle for Lindblom tonight, wasn't it? His pitch count was getting up there. They obviously hit some home runs. I mean, he kept it from getting nutty, you know, for them pulling away, but it was really a battle for him.
Yeah, it was an odd night for him because he struck out eight guys, I believe. So, it, you know, it was a little different. It was a battle. I think that the battle was a deep count at bat, seemingly every at bat. And they made him work for every out. And so, you know, you look up after four innings and we're at 88 or 90 pitches. We don't have any replay to look at. So I thought one of the pitches to Rosario didn't seem that bad, but maybe it just didn't get in far enough. They were both up. He's a good hitter and he made him pay, but he had to battle, but keeping it to four at that point and getting through the fourth with a zero, he got us there and he kept us in the game.
Craig, another good job by the bullpen tonight. What can you say about Devin Williams and the role he's kind of stepped into and the job he's done so far this year?
Well, I'm proud of Devin. He's taken on a lot more responsibility in big innings for us. He's taken a step forward this year. There's no question about it. His confidence has. You see it out there. He believes in his stuff, and he's getting better. Still, I think this guy's going to be really, really important for us. But you see him getting better out there. You see him understanding situations and his stuff. We need him. We need more guys back there, and he's quickly establishing himself as one of these guys.
Seems like his changeup has kind of gone to the next level this season. How do you think that's become such a good pitch for him?
Yeah, that's not a new pitch. I mean, it's been a great pitch for him. That's why he got here. That's what had him take off last season. So, you know, I think more than anything, just learning probably how good it is has probably been the key for him. When he's gotten here, the combination of velocity with a just a really unique special changeup, he's realized how special that pitch is. You don't see good swings on it. You don't see the hitter square it up. And so it's in his back pocket, really. It's a great weapon.
Craig, we saw Avi Garcia out with Andy and Jacob doing a lot of early work, and you don't often see that pay off with such immediate results. Just what did you see in the difference in him tonight?
I think it started yesterday. I think he started getting it going a little bit yesterday and creating some good feelings, and their work created more good feelings today. So, you know, this is a good hitter that got off to a little bit of a slow start, but he's finding it. So he had some really good swings today. I mean, I probably my favorite swing was the hard ground ball he hit through the shortstop, just because he stayed on a ball and still hit it really hard. And that's what he's really good at, hits the ball really hard. So you can hit a ball like that and be fooled and still get a base hit on it. And that's when you feel like a guy's kind of getting locked in there, because that was a good pitch, kind of, you know, fooled him a little bit, but stayed in the zone. And he hit a really hard ground ball.
Craig, I think that pitcher that Jerko hit the home run off is the guy they used to close games. You know, that awful big home run for him. You know, he hasn't got as many at-bats as some of the other guys because you face, you know, always more right-handed pitchers and you have all those good left-handed hitters.
But he's done some good things for you, hasn't he?
Yeah, Jed's really done. The way I describe it, he's done his job. He's done what we want him to do, what we signed him to do. He's here to be an impact bat against left-handed pitching. That's his job. He's done it. That's why he's hitting the middle of the lineup. When we think they're going to have some left-handed pitching. So, I've been a Jed Jerko fan for a while. I think against left-handed pitching, he's a really dangerous bat, and he did it for us tonight.
Let's hear from the head coach. This segment is sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Okay, you just heard from manager Craig Counsell. He's a big Jed Jerko fan, right?
I'm not, but at least somebody is. I mean, that explains them signing him if he's been a big Jed Jerko fan for a while.
No, but I understand what he's saying. That's why they acquired Jed Jerko. One of the reasons is to put him in a position to succeed, and that is against left-handers. All right, he's not an everyday player, and people need to kind of, you know, accept that a little bit. The problem is that it's been amplified here by the lefties of Morrison and Smoke a switch, but no longer Morrison here. They haven't been doing the job against right-handers. So that whole mix of righty-lefty thing with these journeyman guys, it didn't work out until now. Well, now it's just starting to shed some light on some success here.
Jerko defensively, I like. I don't mind him defensively. He's just an all-or-nothing guy and has been for quite a while. Like, he's going to go yard or it's not going to work. And that's kind of what, again, going back to Doug Melvin, that's what these guys kind of like. They like these big power guys, don't concern themselves about average. They look at the on-base percentage, and then they go from there and hope it all works out in the end. So we'll see how it goes. Jerko's averages, I mean, if you are an average guy, like we said earlier, his average is all the way up to 286, 348 on base, 619 slugging. Those are good numbers. Like, I'll take if he can hold that line average on base and slugging the rest of the year, I'd be ecstatic.
Even if it's a platoon situation, which it looks like it's going to be.
Right.
It's going to be him and Smoke. Jerko can play third as well, but now with Urias up, that provides even more options for Craig Counsell. As the Brewers get the 6-4 victory, the Bucks, on the other hand, they get a win as well, 126-113.
Giannis kicked out of this game with a headbutt to Mo Wagner, flagrant 2, and probably will be suspended. And here's Coach Budenholzer after.
Bud, you just want to take me through the Giannis headbutt, what's going through your head as you see him do it?
Well, there's a lot that happened. You know, I think there's multiple plays. It was building. You know, unfortunate that maybe there wasn't a different whistle on a couple different situations. And, Giannis is going to our bench. And, you know, I'll have to look at the tape. But, you know, the referees obviously reviewed it and decided, flagrant 2, and he was ejected. And, you know, when they review it, you got to respect it and understand it. But I think there was a lot of things that happened, and there was a buildup to that moment that I think deserve review and deserve consideration as we think about it.
When you see him pick up a flagrant 2 like that, I think teams around the league kind of see that and think, oh, you know, if we try to be physical with him or whatever it is, we could get under his skin. How do you try to get Giannis through this and have this kind of be a learning moment, if it can be?
This is nothing new. Giannis has been dealing with this for, you know, a long time. He's a MVP. People are going to try and he normally is phenomenal. And, today was a slip up. And, you know, I think it's probably in some ways it could be one of the best things that happened today. And it's a learning moment. And we'll all remember how important it is that we got to keep our cool, you know, coaches, players, everybody. It's nothing new. It's nothing that, you know, we haven't seen, Giannis hasn't seen, and his ability to handle it has been phenomenal.
Matt Velasquez.
Yeah, obviously, like, with an incident like that, obviously you and Giannis have a conversation at some point, or you will have a conversation. Is that something you guys talked about at halftime or at any point during this game?
No, he and I haven't visited about it. You know, I think we certainly will. But, you know, like we just talked about, this is it's not anything new. You know, I think he's incredibly professional and aware and understands how important he is and different things that happen in the games. And so, but, you know, it'll be good for us to touch, you know, have another touch point on it and talk about it. But like I said, he's very, very competitive. He plays with a ton of physicality. You know, so I think, you know, people will try this, but I don't think they've had much luck in the past.
Lori Nichol.
I know when I covered the NFL, sometimes the Packers would send plays into the league to have them be reviewed. Can you do anything like that? It sounds like you're not sympathetic or empathetic to Giannis, but you see there's a reason why he reacted the way he did. What can you do then for his behalf? Can you say anything to the league or ask them to look at this?
Oh, yeah. No, the NBA will do a very thorough investigation. They'll look at, you know, multiple plays that led up to it. You know, kind of observe, you know, really everything that goes on. They do a very thorough job. They'll do the same in this case. And, you know, so we'll have to wait and let that process play out. We'll certainly fight for, you know, our team and fight for Giannis and get them to understand, you know, probably where Giannis is coming from in perspective. But the league always does a great job with things like this.
Kane Pittman.
Yeah, you just sort of touched on that. But as you sort of said, we always talk about the physicality he plays through and those conversations that you guys are having with the league throughout the season. Has this just been an ongoing process? And how do you think that usually plays out when you have that back and forth?
Well, it's always good to have communication, you know, no matter who the parties are and the league and the referees. And, you know, Monty McCutcheon leads that group and, you know, they I think listen and they understand every team has bias and every team thinks that, you know, everything should go in their favor. And but they listen, they give us an ear, they give us an opportunity to present our case. And, you know, ultimately they have to kind of judge and you know, adjudicate for, you know, the best of our league. And, you know, and like I said, they've done this a lot. They'll continue to do it going forward. And, you know, this is just one of them that we'll deal with.
Eric Woodyard.
In a game where you have that physicality, you have an incident like that happen, it could turn into ragged, it could turn into more physicality, it could turn into all that. And it didn't really feel like that tonight. Just what stood out to you as your team got past that and was able to execute and win this game?
Yeah, just like the way we played together, you know, on both ends of the court. I thought the effort and, you know, the defensively, you know, particularly felt like in transition there was, you know, every game there's going to be some clips, but, you know, Ishmith is so fast and so great getting to the paint. I thought, you know, transition, getting back and keeping him and them in front of us to some degree and, you know, guarding their screens, you know, their pick and rolls and off ball stuff. And, you know, I thought the defense was better, put us out in transition some. And, you know, I thought the Nazis came in and gave us a great, great lift off the bench and, you know, got to some of our dribble actions and just some of our variety and helped the ball move and help people move. And then away from the ball, his cutting, slashing was really good. And, you know, I thought Frank Mason, you know, he's so dynamic getting to the paint, getting to the basket. And, you know, so it's just, you know, Sterling, obviously, with a big first half. I think he had 16 at halftime. So, you know, a lot of guys played well. A lot of guys took advantage of their opportunity.
Last one is Zora Stevenson.
Coach, I know you guys have one seeding game left, but when do you start to really just dig into your opponent in the playoffs? Has that process already started? How knee deep are you in that right now?
Well, we did some of that actually during the pandemic. You know, we knew there was a good chance that it would be Orlando or Brooklyn. So we did some work on them, you know, prior to coming down here to Orlando. And, you know, I would say, before today, we haven't really done anything, you know, except for to talk about scheduling and considering let's spend some time watching some film and prepping for Orlando, you know, when we have opportunities. So we'll do both. We'll dig in on the playoffs and also get ready for playing a game on Thursday.
Was it a dunk? Was it a key basket in transition? Was it a spectacular play down the lane? It's time for the Wrench and Go Drive of the Game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest price auto parts around. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
All right, live from the Pella Windows and Doors at Wisconsin Studios, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, the franchise Tim Allen, Sam Schmidt, executive producer of our combo show tonight, Bayview Shannon Blind's postgame show, as well as the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. Drive of the game, I always let our producer figure out what that is going to be for the night.
Jed Sam Jerko.
Sam Schmidt, hey. Hey, it's drive of the game. It should be Jed Jerkle for the Brewers, for sure. For the Bucs, Sam Schmitz, what do you got?
This one came in the third quarter. Thanasis Adetokounmpo, maybe a little bit of revenge for what happened to Giannis in the beginning, but Thanasis got up on this one.
2 minutes, third. Thanasis did, but it worked.
Oh, goodness. Where did that come from? Just came out of the scrum. Sticks a knee into the chest. What's this? Left-handed finish.
Jerko in the air, center field, back on it is Buxton. Near the wall, he leaps and she's gone! Jed Jerko, a towering home run to center. Two-run blast, the Brewers have the lead in the eighth.
Hey, who's happier, Thanasis or Jed Jerko tonight?
Well, Thanasis will never probably have drive of the game the rest of the season unless it comes on Thursday, because he won't see the floor in playoff action. Jerko might be in there again for some highlights between now and the end of the season, I would say.
By the end of the week.
Yeah, Jerko probably happier, though. Game-winning two-run homer there in the bottom of the eighth. That's a big one. Hey, don't forget, when the Bucks win, you win with Wendy's new breakfast, and they won tonight. So, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free sausage or bacon biscuit, or a free small frosty chino with any breakfast purchase. This offer is only good for 24 hours after each Bucks win, so you have to act fast. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's.
When do these guys play again? So the Bucks are going to play on Thursday. That's the final game of
3 o'clock
the regular
against
season.
Memphis. Memphis needing to win that game to ensure themselves a spot in the play-in game for the Western Conference between the 8 and the 9 seed. That game will happen on Saturday. If the 8 seed loses, then they'll play another game on Sunday. And then the rest of the league begins their playoff journey on Monday.
Okay, so the Bucks are tentatively scheduled to get underway on, what, Monday or Tuesday?
Monday or Tuesday, correct. Yep, that is the hope. We still don't have times or anything of the sort, but Monday is supposed to be day one of the playoffs, so we'll see how that all plays out. Mike in Greenfield, you're next on The Fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, gentlemen. Boy, it's good to see the... Are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, we hear you great, Mike.
Okay. It's good to see the Brewers come through and get some offense. And I was a little worried that maybe the chemistry was lost, but I think with this COVID stuff, I'm confident that Council will get them playing as a team, being good teammates. And I'm hopeful... But the lineups are not different, so let's be hopeful, and I hope it's starting a winning trend.
Yeah, no doubt. So do we. And if you look at the short term in this, and you can chop up
thanks, Mike.
Some of the outcomes and some of the schedule the way you want to make it look good, but the reality is the last three games, two of the last three, a 9-run output and a 6-run output tonight.
Yeah, and that's what you want. You want to find that consistency now going forward. And you and I were talking about it in a break or while we were listening to somebody talk, counselor, whoever. Freddy Peralta last night, man. I mean, if that guy locks in and can be somewhat consistent, not that he'll be dominant like he was last night, but if he can be somewhat consistent of a guy, and if he has to be the guy coming out of the bullpen and he can be that weapon, that would be huge for this
Wildness.
Brewers team.
The bouts of wildness with him, it's correct. Just it's hard to explain outside of just he's young and
right.
And hopefully that he figures that out. But it's the curveball. You can't be afraid to throw the curveball. But he's got the fastball, and for whatever reason, that thing gets on players a little bit quicker than you think. It's not like he's throwing 97 or 98. It's 93, 94, 95 maybe when he humps it up there. But, man, it's just a high fastball. They just can't get a good read on it. It's got some movement, and I see him. You know, Craig Counsell was asked this morning, or I should say prior to the game, you know, where do we envision him? Freddie Peralta, long term, is rotation. He a starter?
Yeah.
Is he a bullpen guy?
Oh, starter. Has to be a starter. I
agree.
You got Woodruff. You've got Burns, Hauser, Peralta, those four. And then if Lauer pans out, fine, that's your five. And hopefully you can save some money in the next couple of years and make this lineup better again as far as hitters go.
You don't like your boy Brett Anderson?
He's old. No, not really. No, not interested. Brewers went. Go ahead.
I wouldn't be surprised they bring up another young arm, and we'll do a little checking on that. But it's you never know. They've got, you know, again, some people are clamoring for Brent Suter to get back in the rotation.
No.
He can give you four or five.
No. Good chemistry guy, good clubhouse guy, fine with him out of the bullpen, working super fast, got no problem with that. Rotation guy, no. He's not at the level. Again, and stuff isn't everything, obviously. But from a stuff standpoint, he's not at the level of the first four in this rotation by any stretch of the imagination. So, no, if we're going to try to win a World Series, you know, I'm not saying this is going to be Smoltz and Glavin and Maddox by any stretch, but boy, oh boy, if those four live up to how good their stuff is, they're going to be tough.
Yep, and that process we're going through right now, and I wonder, it's just there's something in the back of my mind, this Devin Williams kid.
He was a starter in the minors.
Yes, he was. And I just wonder if they're bringing him into the scene much the same that they did Woody and Burns in 18.
You think he's going to end up in the rotation too?
I think it's totally possible.
Woo-wee.
So now look at the young
really
guys.
Excited. See, now we're in dreamland right now, because now I feel like we're just being unrealistic that this starting five is going to happen and actually be as good as we think.
I don't know about this year, saying the
2 years from now, whatever,
looks as bright as it may have ever been for young starting rotation.
Yes.
And again, I count Hauser as a homegrown kind of guy.
And controllable. I mean, they're all controllable.
Yes. Yeah. Hauser, you know, he came over in the Carlos Gomez, Mike Fiers deal along with Hader. But let's just, for the sake of the argument, he's been with the organization long enough to kind of call him homegrown.
Sure.
So Woody, Hauser, Burns, Peralta, and Devin Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's Syndergaard and DeGrom and all those guys in New York with the Mets when they were all young and, you know, doing their thing. But I don't know. It looks about as good as young pitchers have ever looked collectively in maybe franchise history.
All right, I'll take a quick timeout. Bucks get the win tonight over the Wizards. Giannis gets kicked out of the game for a headbutt. We'll hear from Giannis coming up in the next segment. We'll hear from Ryan Braun coming up in the next segment as well, Tim, as we're doing multiple postgame shows at one time.
Yeah, I like it, and they both win tonight, so that's a good thing. And I have vested interest, and I make no bones about it, and have not minced the words a little bit. I've got like six or eight different little Vegas sportsbook window tickets, future bets that I, you know, I'd win some money and then walk over to the sports book, buy another one. Here's 25 more bucks on it. I got like $200 on the Bucks to win it all. It's somewhere around 2.2 to 2.7 to 1 ratio. So, I mean, do the math. I got a little chunk of money on these Bucks.
Yeah, that'd
probably
be good.
$500 or so.
Yeah, that's a good chunk of money. So I won't have to worry about the finals this year then. Okay, great. Thanks. He's Tim Allen, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Back after this, hits the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, comboed up with the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North, live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin studios here on The Fan.
Marcus, it seems to me this has been a decent deflection game.
What defensive play stood out?
Giannis knocks that away from Love right at the rim.
Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113 Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Bucks get the win tonight, 126-113. However, some fireworks in the game tonight as Giannis, he gets into a situation where he, according to Coach Bud, there was some history throughout the game, and then Giannis just blew his top and headbutted another individual, and probably a suspension coming up. But the Bucks do get the victory, one more in the bubble, and then the postseason gets underway next week. Brewers, on the other hand, they get the win, 6-4, the final there. We're going to hear from Ryan Braun coming up. Also, Giannis, a couple of MVPs on the way here. Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, along with the Baby Shade and Blind postgame show. Basketball and baseball conversation. Sam Schmitz producing tonight. The defensive play of the game.
This one came in the first quarter while Giannis was still in the game. Always got to love it when defense turns into offense and Lopez gets a sip of tea.
Pass fake, three-pointer, Robin Lopez.
I think one of the issues with the Bucks in their transition offense, where they ranked 26th in the league in terms of points per possession, holding on to the ball too long. You saw Giannis get rid of it just a tad earlier than normal. And you wind up swing, wide open shot for Robin Lopez.
There you go. Defensive play of the game highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Now I want to hear from Giannis. Will he backpedal, Tim Allen? Will he backtrack? Or will he say, he deserved it? Yeah. Maybe next time he won't screw with me.
Either way he goes, and I haven't heard it yet, but either way he goes, I think it's a learning moment for sure.
Well, yeah, it better be, because I don't want to see this in the postseason. Here we go.
Into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. Brought to you by the Granville Business Improvement District. The Granville Connection is opening soon. Go to granvillebusiness.org to see how your small business can be a part of it.
This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
All right, so the Bucks get the win over the Wizards. Giannis gets kicked off for headbutting Mo Wagner, and this is what he had to say after the game.
You just want to take me through the headbutt?
Take you through that?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, terrible action. If I could go back, turn back the time and go back to that play, I wouldn't do it. But at the end of the day, we're all human, we all make mistakes. I think I've done a great job, all year, my career. Keep my composure and focus on the game. But, at the end of the day, as I say, we're human, we make mistakes. But at the end of the day, learn from it, keep playing good basketball, and keep moving forward.
Matt Velasquez.
Just what was it about the previous few minutes that really had you on edge and frustrated with Wagner?
I don't think I was frustrated with Wagner. I think it was just a whole build-up of dirty plays in my mind, guys tripping me, guys, falling in front of my feet, holding me, hitting me, and all that. But it wasn't just I don't have nothing against Wagner. It wasn't just him. It was just in my mind, all these games I've played, guys hitting me. So, I lost for a second. And as I said, if I could go back, I would have changed, try to stay in the game, but again, so I got to live with it. Bad mistake by me. Learn from it. I'm happy that we were able to play good basketball. Happy that it was having fun. I'm happy that we won the game, and just got to keep getting ready for the playoffs.
Last one is Zora.
You're no stranger to having taking hits game after game after game, and you talk about the fact that you work hard to keep your composure. What do you usually tell yourself in those moments to make sure that you kind of stay sane and in the moment and, don't react like you did tonight? And what was the difference tonight that maybe you didn't get to that place where you stayed calm?
Usually I just try to, as I said, stay focused, finish the game. Don't do something stupid. But there's always times that you're in the zone. You just like, you don't think, in my might take a second or two that you don't think you do something dumb. But as I've said, you know, my whole career, I've had great teammates around me, great coach staff, you know, and I think I've done a great job, you know, just, you know, being locked in, not feeling, you know, much from the other team game plan is, or like what the other team is trying to accomplish with, you know, hitting me. But, oh man, today was the day, you know, today was the day, and hopefully he's the last one. But I know the hit's going to keep coming.
How did your teammates support you in that moment following, and maybe at halftime when they saw you?
They told me to, you know, learn from it, that, you know, they need me on the floor. They need me, you know, out there playing good basketball. You know, got to be a leader. Yeah, so they told me to, you know, I got to learn from this, you know. So it happened now, but, you know, it can happen in the playoffs. It can happen in a big game. So I was 100% right, you know, my fault, fellas. You're 100% right. I got to learn from this. And but they know me. They know that I've done a great job, you know, to keep my composure. They was like, okay, you know, it's acceptable and it's human for Giannis to, you know, lose it for a second once, you know. But at the end of the day, they told me I got to learn from it, and 100% right, you know. And hopefully it doesn't repeat itself in the future.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to go inside the clubhouse to hear what the players are saying after today's game on The Fan. It's brought to you by Windows Select. Right now, buy one and get one free, plus no payments until 2021. Call Windows Select today at 262-703-3500.
Yeah, there's one MVP in Giannis. We get another MVP in Braun in just a second here. But interesting... interesting feedback from Giannis, as you know, he was pretty candid, pretty honest, and he just wasn't thinking, he said. And I thought that was a good question from Zora, that, you know, what goes through your mind and calms you down in situations like that. Here's what I've noticed, and again, you're the basketball dude, but we all know about the Jordan rules, and it's a little different for the superstars, right? So you know what happened with Jordan. Now, I didn't pay a lot of attention back in the Magic and Bird days, but I would imagine it happened back then. But moving forward here, you see it with LeBron. You saw it with Kobe. You're starting to see it with guys like Kawhi and Harden. It doesn't seem like it's the same with Giannis. Does it to you? Just to me, from the outside looking in, it doesn't seem like he follows the same kind of guidelines as these other guys. The referees seem to look at Giannis in a little different way. Is it the style of play that he has? Is it the, I don't know, the mutual league-wide respect? I don't know what it is, but it seems a little different than those other guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably not at that level yet. But you got to win a ring. I mean, that's part of it. He's going to be back-to-back MVP, I think. I guess we'll find out. Once that becomes official. But I think once you win that championship and you have a ring on your finger, then maybe you get even more calls. I think he does get some calls that go his way. He doesn't get all the calls that go his way. Maybe like those guys that you are referring to did when they were at the height of their career, or even now for LeBron, for that sake. Right. But yeah, I think eventually maybe he gets there. He wins a championship. He holds up that trophy, back-to-back MVP. Then they are going to have to start giving him I would think even more calls than they do already. And I think some players in the league probably say he already gets calls. So
maybe, but it just always seems like he's at four or five fouls in the late third, early fourth.
But look, I mean, sometimes he's just being an idiot. I mean, sometimes he gets frustrated on one side, goes down the other side, and reaches stupidly out of frustration and gets mad over something, and then he does that later. Those are the type of fouls he can't do. You know, the running into a guy and getting the charge call, like today, against Mo Wagner, that's Giannis, right? The guy got himself in a position. Giannis is getting himself one or two charging calls seemingly every night. That's who he is. They know that's who he is. If Giannis was playing the Bucks, Ersan Ilyasova would have a field day drawing fouls. So that's how you defend him. And he's going to get himself in foul trouble. And he even joked about it before this whole thing started in the bubble. They said, you know, what would you like to be the home court advantage? He said, boy, I'd love a seventh foul. You know, I would love to get seven fouls in a game versus six. And so he knows that he himself gets himself in. Now, does he deserve the benefit of the doubt? And maybe on a ticky-tack call, should he get away with it? Absolutely. Yes. Yes, he should because of his stardom. But sometimes, most of the times, he is at fault for what happens when fouls get called on him, and then they become kind of obvious.
Yeah, I just I like what he did. Also, finally, what he said about the learning moment, and that's what that is what I expected out of him, and that's what we got out of him. There's Giannis,
but he also said it had nothing to do with that player. It had to do with the buildup of everything going on in the game of how he was being treated.
I gotta said that.
And you and I both said off the air, why would you say such a thing? Because, again, everybody sees this. People are going to read the quotes of what he said, obviously. And if I'm another team, I'm talking about, hey, just keep beating on him the whole game.
Yep.
And over the course of a series, maybe we can see him lose his cool a little bit.
Well, then his assists should just go through the roof then.
Yep.
I mean, if that's he's got a counter to that if he detects that happening. So we'll find out. But, the Bucks get the win 126-113 despite the Giannis headbutt and ejection, flagrant two, possible suspension. We would assume that that's going to be the case. Now we flip over to Ryan Braun. He was sent up to Appleton's alternate training site to get some ABs. Craig Council said over the weekend, I don't know what to tell you guys, but Ryan Braun needs to get some ABs. ABs, ABs, ABs. He doesn't get ABs in spring in Arizona. He doesn't want at-bats in Arizona. He said, give me 20, 25. I'm good to go. They shut it down. He comes back summer camp, doesn't get a bunch of at-bats. And again, Council said it over the weekend. Well, they sent him up to Appleton. He makes the drive. And not that it's to the moon, but it's to Appleton. And he gets five at-bats. Really? You really?
That's going to fix him, Timmy.
He went up to Appleton. You could do that at Miller Park. Does someone just call somebody to throw him some live BP?
Could have brought somebody down from Appleton to pitch to him at Miller Park.
Correct. Yeah, I didn't even think of that part. Yeah. Two of them.
Correct.
Bring two guys down here. So he doesn't. He gets the five at bats, and he does get in the ball game today. He took an 0-for and was late on one of the fastballs. He should have hammered. He was a little late on that. But let's hear from the Brewers' former MVP, Ryan Braun.
Hey Ryan, could you just tell us how you're feeling, how it went in Appleton, and you know if you felt rushed or if you felt ready?
I feel pretty good. I'm happy and excited to be back. I thought everything in Appleton went really well, similar to what we have going on here. I thought it was very well organized, and they're prepared. Obviously, everything is different there, just like it is here. It's different to play in an inter-squad game than it would be to go play in regular games somewhere with an affiliate, but it's obviously our only option. I feel like my timing is still a work in progress, but overall, felt good. Finger was a non-issue, and it was fun to be a part of a great comeback and a good win.
Did that kind of look like the old Brewers to you tonight, Ryan, slugging your way to victory? You know, home runs have not come as often so far this year, but tonight they sure did.
Yeah, that was very encouraging. A bunch of guys swung the bats well today. I think Avi starting off the game for us offensively with the home run was a big moment after they went ahead 2-0 with a couple home runs in the first inning. He swung the bat well all day. I think Manny Pena's got, it feels like to me, he's had so many clutch hits throughout his career, but today was one of his better games that I've seen. Obviously, both home runs were important. Second one was huge. And then Jed obviously coming through there in the eighth inning. So a lot of guys contributing. This is typically how we've won a lot of games over the years. So very encouraging to see multiple guys swing the bats well, to hit some home runs. And to string together some rallies, which we haven't done enough of to this point this year.
Did Manny rounding first base remind you a little of Woody against Kershaw?
the circumstances were a little bit different, but I'd say the excitement level was relatively similar. It reminded me, actually, he had a home run on Mother's Day, I think a couple years ago. Big home run, dramatic comeback. I want to say we were playing the Mets or something. And it felt kind of like that moment. But it's cool. I mean, again, we have to create our own excitement and enthusiasm. And he got the dugout fired up. And, that part of this whole experience is a work in progress. It's a huge challenge for all of us. And to see that level of excitement and enthusiasm for him is something that we all feed off of as a team.
Hey, Ryan, have you noticed guys are taking the COVID thing a little bit more seriously lately, just in terms of you see more guys masking up now, the distancing seems to be a little bit more of a priority. Just from your standpoint, are guys really taking more notice of that and trying to be more careful?
Yeah, I think we've done a great job of it, in my opinion, here, you know, starting with Roger Kaplinger, Scott Behringer, you know, everybody that's put together our protocols. I think they've been very prepared, very organized, very communicative. For all of us as players, obviously, we're paying attention to what's going on around the league. And you recognize just how dangerous the situation still is. So I do think everybody's taking every precaution within reason. Obviously, all of these things are adjustments for all of us. You know, on some of the hotter days, it becomes more challenging to have the mask on all day long. But I think guys are trying to wear it in the dugout, trying to wear it during batting practice, always having it on in the locker room and doing everything in their power to try to keep this thing as safe as possible.
Hey, Ryan, without Lorenzo Cain, Craig had mentioned you playing a little bit more right field whenever you were ready to do that. I'm just curious if the finger, what kind of issue that may present, if anything at all, right now as far as getting on the field.
Yeah, throwing's a little bit more challenging than swinging right now. I played right field yesterday in Appleton for 5 or 6 innings of the inter-squad game. Throwing is a bit more of a challenge than swinging, but I do think I could play the outfield whenever I'm needed.
Ryan, this is a far different lineup than last year's. You know, there's a lot of guys that aren't here now. But now that you're, you know, starting to feel better and, you know, Keston and Christian have been swinging the bats better, do you have hopes that this offense will improve?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, a lot of guys here have track records. I think most guys are better than what they've shown to this point. One of the things I'm most encouraged by is that collectively as an offense, there's a lot of guys that have underachieved to this point. So you hope that a lot of guys kind of get going at the same time, which is usually a recipe for success. So 2 of the last 3 games, I feel like we've swung the bats really well. You know, that last game against Cincinnati facing Sonny Gray, who's been one of the best pitchers in the National League the last couple of years, swung the bats really well. Tonight we swung the bats really well. So hopefully we continue to build off of this and you get at least a handful of guys swinging the bat well at the same time, which usually leads to sustained rallies and more runs.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. On the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. And see what your favorite players did in today's game. Presented by Otto's Wine and Spirits. Locally owned, offering the widest selection of beer, wine, and liquor with everyday low prices at their 7 Milwaukee locations. Otto'sWineAndSpirits.com.
All right, time to go inside the box score. We'll start off with Brook Lopez, 23 minutes, 9 of 11 from the floor, 5 of 5 from 3-point range, 1 of 1 from the line, 24 points on the night for Brook Lopez in a 126-113 victory for him. George Hill, 23 minutes, 2 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 4 from 3-point range. He had 5 points to go along with 6 assists, a couple of rebounds, and 1 steal, 1 turnover. Kyle Korver, 25 minutes, 1 of 6 from the floor. 5 of those were from 3-point range. 3 points, 7 boards, couple of assists for him. Pat Connaughton, 24 minutes, 3 of 7, 2 of 4 from 3, 2 of 2 from the line, 10 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal for Connaughton. Off the bench, well, pretty much everybody played but Marvin Williams that could have played. Sterling Brown, 30 minutes, 9 of 16, 5 of 8 from 3, 23 points, 2 boards, 2 assists, and 1 steal to go along with 3 turnovers. Frank Mason, the third, 22 minutes, 7 of 10 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3-point range, 4 of 7 from the line, 19 points, 5 boards, 6 assists for him. DJ Wilson played 23 minutes, 4 of 6 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3, 2 of 4 from the line, 11 points, 5 boards, and a couple of turnovers. Robin Lopez, 21 minutes, 3 of 6 from the floor, 1 of 1 from 3-point range, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 8 points, 4 boards, 1 assist, and a couple of turnovers for him. Giannis's brother, 18 minutes for Thanasis, 4 of 8 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3-point range, 8 points, 4 boards, 4 assists on the night for him. Ersan Ilyasova, 22 minutes, 1 of 6 from the field, 5 of those were 3-point attempts, 3 points, 4 rebounds for him. Shooting 50.6% from the floor for Milwaukee, the Wizards 41.1%. Three-point shooting, 18 of 38 for Milwaukee, 47.4%, which is red hot. 12 of 35 for the Wizards, good for 34.3%. 20 of 28 from the free throw line for the Bucks, 71.4%. 23 of 30 for the Wizards, 76.7%. Rebounds, 53-44, Bucks over the Wizards tonight. Turnovers, 11 for the Milwaukee, or for the Wizards, 14 for the Milwaukee Bucks. Again, the Bucks win 126-113.
What's their record now?
The Milwaukee Bucks now are 56-16.
Man, what a season.
56-16 on the season for them. And, of course, the other thing that we should bring up is Are You Kidding Me moment of the game brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing. Are You Kidding Me moment of the game brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. That has to be Giannis, everybody, Mo Wagner, at the end of the day. He ended up with 10 points, 1 of 3, 10 of 12 from the free throw line. He had 12 free throw attempts in 10 minutes. Think about that for a second. 12 points, 9 boards, an assist, a steal, and an ejection for Giannis in this one, the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game. And let's look at the Wizards and what they did.
Behold our mortal enemy. We're keeping an eye on the enemy. How did the bad guy look tonight? Sponsored by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch or dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
For the Wizards tonight in the Los Angeles, 20 points, 5 boards, and assist for him on 6 of 18 shooting, 3 of 9 from 3-point range, 5 of 6 from the line. Off the bench, 19 points for Ish Smith, 26 minutes, 8 of 15 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3, 2 of 2 from the line for Ish Smith, 19 points, 5 assists, 3 boards. Those were your two leading scorers of the game for the Washington Wizards this evening. All right, we'll take a quick timeout and come back and hear from Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. How does that sound, Mr. Tim?
No, it sounds good. And just one more final note on Eye on the Enemy. If we could grab Sam to just let me know how the let everybody know how the Cubs, Reds, Pirates did in the Central, since this is a pennant race. I mean, we know how the Cardinals did. They've got 5 games in, and we're going to have to figure that thing out. But I know the Cubs were in Cleveland. They got a little bit of a break because Clevinger was supposed to start tonight, and yeah, that didn't happen because he was out with police act.
Correct. Cubs win 7-1 tonight.
Yeah.
Lester on the win. Plutko on the loss, or Plutko, whatever you say, for the Indians. And then after the game was done, he went off on the two pitchers for the Indians for pretty much lying to the team, not doing what they were supposed to do, and lit them up after the game and said he can't wait to hear how they're going to win back their trust in the locker room or in the clubhouse. So he was not a happy camper after the game. Who else did you want to hear from? The St. Louis Cardinals and Pirates were postponed, obviously, because of COVID with the Cardinals.
And the Reds.
And the Cincinnati Reds are the other one. That would be our guy Derek Johnson's team, DJ's team. Reds beat the Royals 6-5.
Yeah.
On that one. And that one went extra innings. That one went to the... Did that go to the 11th? Is that what, 10th? 10th inning. 10th inning. 10 right. innings. On that one, and Joey Votto, of course, comes up big in that one. Votto was 2-for-4 with an RBI and a walk. Winker's second home run of the year. Davidson's second home run of the year as well for the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, that's what you do in a pennant race. You scoreboard watch. That's why we give them to you. That's it.
Again, the whole scoreboard thing, until this Brewers offense gets going again and consistently, I'm not even thinking about it.
Well, they're going now, and they get it done. Manny Pena, a couple of home runs. Ryan Braun mentioned that Mother's Day home run. That was like an 18-inning game that you're just probably not going to see for a while. You certainly probably won't see that this year, because there's a man on second base with nobody out. You're not going to go far. I'm shocked if it were to go an extra 3-4 at the outside. in extras this year. But yeah, I remember that game on the air afterwards. And that game, in fact, that game was so long, the Brewers made a roster move prior to the game, and backup catcher Juan Centeno was sent down to Colorado Springs at the time. He actually made it to his apartment in Colorado Springs by the time that game ended.
Juan Centeno doesn't even remember being on the Brewers at this point, but Tim Allen does remember him being on the Brewers. Yes.
That's right.
The Bucks, they win 126-113. The Brewers, they take care of business. Jed Jerko with a big two-run shot in the bottom of the eighth inning to win it for the Brewers 6-4. Up next, we will hear from Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and get his thoughts on Giannis getting booted out of the Bucks game tonight. All right, so the Bucks come up victorious over the Washington Wizards tonight, 126-113. The Brewers take care of the Minnesota Twins, 6-4. Jed Jerko's two-run shot in the bottom of the eighth to win it for the Brewers. Steve Sparky, Fiverr, the franchise, Tim Allen, broadcasting live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin studios. And joining us now, as you just heard, Matt Velasquez to talk about the Bucks game, which really in all reality should have been nothing tonight. Really, I wasn't thinking we would talk much about the Bucks, to be honest with you, after Jerko hit his home run. Well, actually, before Jerko hit his home run, I thought, well, you know, it'll be mostly Brewers tonight and Twins, and then Giannis headbutts Wagner, and then I was like, well, there goes the probably talking much about the Brewers tonight. It'll be dominated by Giannis. Matt Velasquez, were you as shocked as most Bucks fans were that that happened?
I was. I was pretty surprised. Obviously, you know, there was some frustration. When I saw the box out by and the way he kind of threw his backside into Giannis's hip and knocked him to the ground and the two kind of locked eyes, I was like, oh man, like Giannis is gonna go at him. Like there's no question about that. You know, and I wasn't surprised by the offensive foul. I wasn't surprised they called it an offensive foul. I wasn't surprised by any of that. But when you see Giannis, you know, not just getting in the face of Wagner, but literally like hitting him in the face with his head, you know, that's something that you don't normally see. And we know that Giannis can get angry and can lose his temper sometimes, and it's very rare. But we've seen it before, and this is just one of those moments.
Yeah, Matt, is that the final piece of his game here that needs to be taken care of? And I don't know if it's not getting calls. I don't know if it's in regard to him, the way he plays or whatever. And you do this for a living, but just me from the outside, it just always seems that every time there's a Bucks game that Giannis is sitting there with four or five fouls late third, early fourth. Have you noticed that trend? And if so, how does Giannis get through that part of his game?
Well, I think the fouls, I mean, it's been pretty consistent where, you know, especially early in the season, he'll go through stretches where he'll foul too much. He'll be kind of trying to do too much, getting too excited, doing whatever. And then he normally figures it out. You know, he'll pick up a whole bunch of offensive fouls. It's just going to happen. That's part of his game. He doesn't really shy away from that. He knows that his bread and butter is using his strength and athleticism and size to get to the rim. And guys are going to try and undercut him and step in the lane and take charges. That's one of the, you know, maybe tried and true ways of holding him down or stopping him or slowing him down or something like that. So I think the fouls are something that he'll figure out over time. But I think he's generally been good with dealing with his emotions and keeping his composure. And, you know, at times like tonight when he doesn't do that, I think that could be detrimental.
No doubt about it. He is Matt Velasquez, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll talk to you again Thursday after another meaningless game, this time against Memphis.
All right. Sounds great.
Sounds good. There he is, Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And then with the playoffs start on Monday, so that'll be good. Tim, we got 30 seconds. Wrap it up.
Got to get Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North, along with the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. We get you ready for Brewers Game 3. Huge game tomorrow, 5:30. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show after the last pitch. I'll talk to you hopefully after a Brewers victory.
Beautiful. Toodles!
Smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.